724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Hey, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. We have a lot of ground to cover today. Good program. Open talk to begin with. Our phone number is 283-2525. We've had a lot of great guests recently. Have not had a whole lot of time for open talk, so we'll try to make up for that a little bit. Next couple of days, open talk to begin. We will have guests later. We'll be talking later on the program today. In fact, coming up in about a half an hour or so, we'll be chatting with the folks from the Harmony Museum. They have their antique gun show, antique weapons show, coming up this, yeah, it's this weekend, I believe. Rick Rosenberger will join us to offer details. Now, this is not a typical gun show. It's a pretty rare thing. It's antique weaponry, some of which is unique to our area, Western Pennsylvania. So there's a lot of history here. And, of course, that's what you'd expect from the Harmony Museum. So that's coming up. We're also going to be chatting today with Dr. Vera Teller about preparing for a career. She has some guidance tips for particularly students of higher education and parents thereof. And also today, Ralph Christie Jr. stops by with some of the cast members of the upcoming Sing Hosanna comedy theater production that they do in the summertime, and that's coming up very soon as well. So a lot of stuff on the agenda today. Open talk, first of all. Oh, and I want to tell you before I forget, because I've been mentioning this a couple of times over the last few weeks. You know, we have a solar eclipse coming up in about a week and a half, a little less than a week and a half, later in August. And I've been wanting to nail down an interview with a real expert. Well, we've got one. He's going to be with us on tomorrow's program. He's Dr. Steve Ruskin, who is a professor from Notre Dame and from Cambridge in England, by the way. He'll fill us in on the total solar eclipse, which is coming up August 21st, I believe, is the date. So will we be able to see anything here in Western Pennsylvania? Is it safe to look at a solar eclipse? Not with the naked eye, I can tell you that straight away. So how can you safely look at it? What happens? Is this pretty rare? And so on and so forth. A lot of great questions for Dr. Ruskin, who is out in Colorado, by the way. He's on the board of advisors for the National Space Science and Technology Institute out there. And so he'll be chatting with us tomorrow about the eclipse. And while we're at it, also on the program tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the horrendous typhoid epidemic, which struck the United States of America back in the early 1900s and caused a particular disaster here in our area, here in the Butler area. Typhoid fever, it was, in the early 1900s. I don't know a lot about it. I've heard people mention it. We'll be speaking tomorrow with a graduate student at Slippery Rock University. She is Alicia Federkyle. And she's doing research this. In fact, she's been doing research on this typhoid fever epidemic. So I'm anxious to meet her and talk with her about this. You know, we've had a couple of epidemics. There was a flu epidemic, too, that devastated the Butler area. And that was sometime around World War One. I want to say 1918. That's pretty close, I think. We'll talk with Alicia tomorrow on the program. So a lot of good stuff coming up tomorrow as well. Open talk to begin with, 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525 here today. There is a new database that's out. You can get it online to see whether or not your drinking water is safe. It's kind of interesting. Been in the news a lot over the past, especially the past 6 months here in our area with the discovery of lead problems in water at Summit Township Elementary School. That was back in January, I guess, wasn't it? The website is ewg.org/tapwater. And you go to that website, you type in your zip code, and you can find out whether or not your water's safe. I haven't had time to give it a good look yet. We just saw it on the news today. So it'd be interesting. I've often maintained that, especially years ago, I know when I was a kid, initially at my family's house, we had well water for a while. I don't know when we converted to municipal water, but did we ever have that tested? I don't know. I'm positive that the elementary school that I attended had well water. But who knows whether that was safe or not? You know? We know now. We have a lot more testing available now, don't we? Okay, let's get to it here. Let's get to the people. Let's open talk 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Good afternoon, Dave. This is the first open mic you've had that I've been able to listen to since the council tabled the motion on unprotected people here in Butler.
Yes, what do you think about that? That was.
I think it's awful that they've forgotten that the Supreme Court has already ruled that they are human beings and subject to the laws the same as anyone else. And why we continue to carry that message that the Supreme Court is going to rule on this is absurd. There's nothing in that test case in October that is related to what these people were talking about.
That was what they brought up as a rationale for the table, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They said, well, we're going to wait to see what the Supreme Court rules on this guy's selling cake.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what they were talking about with that was whether he was able to. It's already been rejected by all the courts in that area.
Yeah, he didn't want to sell a birthday cake to a gay couple. I think was it.
Yeah,
right? Yeah,
but not because, only because that's his talent, his artwork was whether that can be used as a reason not to give people that artwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's kind of weird, but why we continue this myth that GLBTs are less human than I am or you are is foolish in terms of what it costs the society to deal with this problem.
Well, of course, we just had the President of the United States tweeting about a week and a half ago that he was no longer going to allow transgender people to serve in the U.S. military.
And how much of a reaction did that get from even the military?
Well, the military told him, don't think so. Hang on.
Yeah. Well, so he's appealing to his base. The people who tabled that motion here in Butler, would be probably his base, I would guess. But that's terrible. I was involved with that when I was part of the group that started back in the early 90s.
I knew that 2000. It had come up before council several years ago. I didn't know exactly
where. Yeah, for years. Yeah. And I said, wow, is this still going on? And why? And what is... There's no reason for it except an undefined prejudice.
Yeah. Well, appreciate your call.
I just think... Why are we continuing to abuse human beings? And when the Supreme Court has already said that we have no right to do that.
Well, I hear what you're saying, my friend. Thanks.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, that's what we do. Sure, good to talk with you. Thanks.
Goodbye.
283-2525 is the number. Caller, you've been very patient. Thanks for that. Sorry for the wait. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
That's okay.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that last Thursday, the township, Butler Township, sponsored a night out event.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of the national night out event.
Mm-hmm.
And what a nice event it was. It was held in the parking lot of Kitty City, and there were several officers there just, you know, talking to people, and it was an opportunity to meet some of them. And, you know, I guess just a shout out to the township for sponsoring the event. Some communities do not participate, but I think this was the third one, and the township has participated in all three, and my husband and I have attended all three, and they were kind of all different in a little way, but a neat event that
mm-hmm.
The township sponsored.
I think it's a good idea. I think, though, the national time out, or night out, whatever it's called, I think it's been going on longer than that, because Cranberry is another community. They were the first one around here, I think, that participated in it. Now, whether or not they still do, because I didn't see any bulletins from Cranberry this time about it. To be honest with you, it's a little confusing to me. I know Butler Township just had it last week, but for some reason, I thought it was usually in the fall. So maybe I'm the one that's all goofed up, or maybe it's different times of the year. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You know, my husband and I, too, the township sponsors that Citizens of Police Academy
mm-hmm.
for its citizen, like the township residents. And that is a neat event, too. It was so neat to be involved with that and also the night out events. So.
I think the concept is outstanding.
I do, too.
I applaud Butler. Butler Township has had very progressive leadership, political representatives over the years. They're really ahead of the curve in a lot of things.
It's
like
all to improve community.
Absolutely.
Relations,
yeah,
you know, the officers that were there were just hanging out, like, you know, like literally we were talking about everyday, you know, stuff. But they just hung out. There was probably 3, 4, 5 of them that just hung out, you know, for the whole event as long as they could and talked. So and I think it achieves its goal, believe me.
Yeah, and guess what? They turn out to be real people.
Hey, yeah. They are real people.
Which I think is kind of the purpose of the event, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the call. Glad you enjoyed, and I'm sure the folks at Butler Township appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Sure, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. I don't know whether, you know, obviously it's going to be larger communities that do this. Number one, they've got more, well, they've got police departments. Not all of our municipalities have police departments. In fact, the vast majority of them do not. Many do. Many are quite small. But there are many communities, many municipalities who rely on state police, you know, for their police protection. So it'd be kind of tough to participate. But I think it's a good idea. And I don't know. I guess I'll have to dig back through the files here. I thought there was something or other where there was a campaign where you left your porch light on. Do you remember anything about that, Pat Parker, where if you were going to participate, you left your porch light on that evening or something? And was that the same thing, or is that something different? I don't know. For some reason, I had in the back of my mind that was in the fall. But, you know, I could be confused. Maybe I'm thinking about trick-or-treat night or something. I don't know. But it's good, because many times, most times, I suppose, for average folks, that they come in contact with a police officer, it means there's something wrong. You know, either they've been the victim of a crime or, you know, maybe a speeding violation or something like that. It's usually not necessarily a confrontational situation, but, you know, you're a little upset one way or another. It's nice to be able to talk with police officers person to person, you know. And as she said, they're real people. So good job by Butler Township and Kitty City. That's out on Whitestown Road, by the way. That's where they held that last week. I know that Cranberry Township has participated in the past. I'm sure there are other municipalities who have done it as well, but I don't know off the top of my head. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk here on the program today. 283-2525. getting back to the safe water testing. And I don't know how accurate this new database is. It's ewg.org/tapwater. And when you go to that website, you type in your zip code, and then it it lists various water companies who provide water to people who live within that zip code area. Now, I typed in a couple of zip codes, and there were a couple of things that I questioned. That's why I'm a little bit, do a little bit more research on just how accurate it is. So I just heard about it today. So tried it out. Maybe you can try it for your community and see what they say. But, you know, this would not apply to anyone. It's only for municipal water systems, obviously. And I'm not sure that every municipal water system is listed. That's my concern. I typed in a couple of zip codes where I know there were a couple of municipal water systems missing, at least. ewg.org/tapwater. But it should be reassuring. I think most, put it this way, I know the big ones, Pennsylvania American Water Company, I mean, they, you know, you can rely on them. They probably have triple, quadruple safeguards and filters and testing and everything else. I mean, they're a humongous company, and they're going to, you know, be on top of this sort of thing and be up to snuff on all the regulations and inspections and so on. 283-2525, open talk. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Hi.
I just heard you and I guess it was Terry and Kenny Metrick last week talking about the farm show, and I certainly enjoyed hearing that. I was at the farm show last night. The weather wasn't great. It didn't rain, but it seemed like the crowds might have been a little bit subdued because of the bad weather. But I just want to talk about how wonderful the farm show is.
Please do. Please do.
Yeah, it is remarkable. Having grown up in Meridian as a child, you know, 9, 10 years old, the farm show was the height of excitement for the summer for us. We would go there every day on our bikes and spend the morning, go home, get lunch, go back in the afternoon, sometimes go back in the evenings. I remember before the new airport was built in 1960, over 50 years ago, the original airport was just a grass landing strip located up toward Meridian Road. It's now used for parking and what have you, but there was a ball field up there where I played Pony League baseball with one of my teammates, was Mike Kelly. We would go, like I said, the Flying Farmers would use that old grass airstrip to put on a show. And there's a term, I don't know if you're familiar with the Flying Farmers.
Never heard of it, no.
Yeah, there was a group of apparently farmers who owned airplanes, and they had a club. And they would conduct a competition where they would try to do accurate landings. There would be a line on the grass airstrip that was drawn with, flour or lime or something. And they would try to land where wheels closest to the grass, the line on the grass. And then they also had a flower. They would put flour in paper sacks, and they'd fly over a target, and they'd drop these paper sacks trying to hit the target. So it was a bombing competition. And I just can't remember the other competitions. There were at least three things that they did, and those are the only two I can remember. So maybe one of your callers can remember the Flying Farmers. When they built the new airport, again, 1960, over, 56 years ago or whatever, they then continued to have Flying Farmer competitions at the new airport. I remember watching them there as a kid. It was quite an event for us in the summer to go up to the farm show, and as I heard Ken or Terry say last week, the guys that started that as a plowing competition would not recognize what a first class event it has become. So it's going to be a nice night tonight. I'm thinking about going back again tonight.
Oh, I've gone there are many years that I've gone a couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah,
let me get back to the airfield, because you grew up there.
Well, yeah.
Because I never, in fact, I didn't know until I was talking to Terry a couple of last week that there actually had been an earlier airstrip there. It had to be pretty close to where the airstrip is now, didn't it?
No, not really.
Oh.
If you were driving along Meridian Road, and you know where now it's kind of a back entrance to the farm show,
mm-hmm.
Right off Meridian Road, the airstrip ran perpendicular to Meridian Road. So depending upon which way the wind was blowing, planes would take off or land right over those houses that are on the opposite side of Meridian Road. There are some houses that have been built since the new airport went in that are a little further down Meridian Road toward Whitestown Road, and they're on the same side as the farm show grounds are.
Hmm.
But the strip ran perpendicular to Meridian Road.
So this would have been kind of behind AGR, American Glass Research?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that would be correct.
Okay.
It would have run parallel kind of with as you can imagine, an extension of, like Whitestown Road. It would have been kind of parallel to Whitestown.
Okay.
And perpendicular and also to Meridian. I believe the airstrip was there because a guy by the name of Jack Rowe, who was a resident of Meridian, he was... I think he owned the building supply place in Meridian where you could get lumber and hardware things back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I think, was involved in agriculture also. He owned an airplane. And so his hangar for his airplane was up in that area. And I think he started, perhaps he even owned the property originally. And that was his landing strip. And so that became like a farm show airport. And some of his friends kept their planes there, as I recall from my childhood. And, I remember seeing people like, here's a name for you out of the past, Slim Bryant and the Wildcats. Remember that name?
Well, he used to perform on Pittsburgh TV back in the early days, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he actually started on Pittsburgh Radio, I think. And Slim, I remember seeing him as a kid a couple of times at the farm show performing. Was my first experience to live, introduction to live music, and it made quite an impression on me. Another person I saw at the farm show as a kid was Hank Stoll. Remember Hank Stoll?
I have a story to share with you there, because I saw him as well when I was a kid.
Where,
Dave? In person, at the, you're not going to believe this, well, maybe you will, the Silver Fox Theater in St. Petersburg, PA.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Did the same kind of a show. He would bring Rodney Nugent Hack and Flash. He would bring Knish.
He brought Bob Trow with him when I saw him at the Silver Fox.
That's a little better than Knish.
Yeah. And he was, of course, the man of a thousand voices, the late Bob Trow. But I can remember that night because the people at the Silver Fox had organized this, obviously. They did brought in visiting artists and plays during the summertime, and it was either a stormy night or for some reason, it had to be in the summertime because they didn't open that place in the winter, with no heat. But he and Bob Trow were very, very late coming up from Pittsburgh, and I'm talking like an hour and a half. But everybody stayed, and they eventually came, and they were soaking wet from coming in from the storm. But sure enough, they dug out Knish and the other... the puppets and put a little show on, put their portable stage up and did a little show. It was a thrill of a lifetime for a young person of, 6 or 7 years of age.
Oh, it was for me, because here's the thing that made it really special and memorable. I don't really remember the show, but I remember afterwards being a kid there. There's not a lot of security, like zero security. And Hank Stoll had driven his car, which I remember also was a 1960s Citroen or whatever, a French car, and it had air suspension, and he was showing it off to everybody, how you could adjust the car up or down.
Wow.
And I think we helped him carry a couple little suitcases back to his car, which he had pulled right down to where the old stage was located. Remember that stage that was down there right by the lake? And I was up close and personal with Hank Stoll. It made my day, man. I still remember it 50 years later.
Wow.
So, listen, that's enough of me bloviating about the farm show.
Well,
it's a terrific event. Terrific event. I love it.
Nice to talk to you. So do I.
Good talking to you, Dave. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 283-2525. He's not the only one who loves the farm show. I think it's one of the great entertainments around as well. It's open talk for a couple of more minutes. Let's go to this line next. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. The dirty varmints did it again.
Oh, no. What happened to you?
They changed the rules right in the middle of the game.
Rules for what?
Well, the golden rule, they changed it. Instead of treat others like you want to be treated, it's do it to others. Do it to others before they do it to you.
Yeah, and a lot of people use that technique for a long, long time. Are you referring to something in particular these days?
Well, just life in general. You know, everybody's out to get you anymore.
Well, not everybody, thank goodness, but some people are. There's no question about it.
The early bird used to get the worm. You know what he gets now?
What's he get now?
The green weenie.
Well, that goes back a ways.
early to bed, early to rise, and that sucks.
Well, some people say that. The green weenie was an invention of the late Bob Prince.
Yep, that's right.
Pirate broadcaster.
Yeah. And if you find one laying around now, it's worth some money.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I know.
And the last one is my favorite.
What's that?
It's Not Your Turn by Dave Mularkey. Thank you for having me on, Dave.
Thanks, my friend.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. 833-2525. I have enough time for one more call here on Open Talk. Callie, you've got the last word. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to share my experience with meeting Hank Stoll.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
I was a teenager, and I worked in a local restaurant, and he and a companion came in, and I waited on them.
Mm-hmm.
Gave them their order, and then I was passing by, and they were kind of looking at me, and I thought they wanted something else, and I stopped and asked, and the gentleman he was with said, "No, we're fine. I was just admiring your hair, how beautiful it is." So, I'll never forget that. It wasn't Hank that said it, but it was his companion.
We should mention, because there are listeners who are mystified as to who we've been talking about, Hank Stoll was a Pittsburgh TV personality along the lines of Paul Shannon or Josie Carey or Fred Rogers, you know, kind of like that. He had a different kind of a show. He had puppets. But he was very popular back in the day.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Nice talking to you, Dave.
Oh, no. Hey, the pleasure was mine. Let me tell you something. I forgot to mention it to our previous caller. And I'd forgotten it myself, to be honest with you. I have his autograph on, I had a Knish puppet. That my mom and dad made for me. It was a combination job. My dad made the wooden body of the puppet, the controlling arm and the head. Mm-hmm. And then my mom made a cloak for it, just a kind of a tunic. And then together, I can't believe they did this. They drilled 100 holes in the head of this thing.
Oh,
and stuffed yarn in it. Do you remember Knish's hair, what it looked like?
Yes, I do.
It was just yarn. It was this unruly, it was a mop is what it was. It looked like a mop.
Right.
And they made this puppet. And I had forgotten all about that because I took it with me up to the Silver Fox. And when I showed it to Hank Stoll, he just went crazy. So this is unbelievable. Got out his pen and he said, "Let me sign it for you." So he autographed it for me.
Well, that's a nice souvenir.
Yeah, yes it is. Going back a few years, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
We have the memories, though, don't we?
We do.
Nice to talk to you.
You also.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye. We need to take a quick break here. We're going to be chatting next about, this is a pretty neat thing, folks. I've done this down at Harmony Museum for a few years now, an antique gun show. It's not a regular gun show. It's antique weaponry, some of it with particular connection to Western Pennsylvania. So we'll be talking about that coming up on the program with Rick Rosenberger. He'll be our next guest on It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be back to talk to him in just a couple of minutes.
If you're tired of being fed to death by the big banks, now is a great time to join the Butler Armco Employees Credit Union. With more free services like checking, online banking, mobile banking, and check deposits by phone, along with the best rates around on autos, home equity loans, and mortgages, you'll quickly see why over 26,000 members have chosen BAECU for their banking needs. It's never been easier to join, so stop in or join online at BAECU.com. You and your wallet will be happy you did. BAECU is federally insured by NCUA and is an equal opportunity lender.
Hello, I'm Ken Molesky with Central Electric Cooperative. The following tips can help save energy dollars and get the most out of your cooling system during these dog days of summer. Set your thermostat at 77 degrees. Clean or replace your air conditioner filter monthly. Close east-facing curtains or blinds in the morning and west-facing in the evening. Weather strip doors and windows. Upgrade insulation and make sure your attic door closes tightly. And always listen for Central Electric's peak alerts for energy conservation. This saves everyone money by reducing the cost of power during peak times. This is Ken Molesky for Central Electric Cooperative, powering everyday life for 80 years. This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
Welcome back, friends. Our first guest on the program today visits with us on the telephone to tell us about a great event that's coming up this weekend down in Harmony. Rick Rosenberger is here. Rick, good to talk with you. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
This is the Antique Gun Show down at Harmony Museum, which you have held now for several years down there, right?
13. I think this is our 13th year.
Wow. I mentioned to our listeners that this is not a, you know, a typical gun show. This is strictly antique weaponry, and much of it with kind of a unique connection to Western Pennsylvania history, right?
That's correct. Harmony, which is a very historic location, had a resident gunsmith there named Charles Flowers. He worked in those days. Gunsmiths made guns as well as repaired them.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles made quite a few guns from the period following the Civil War up until his death in 1898. His guns were, of course, muzzle-loading rifles, single-shot rifles, and he was competing in that time frame with modern-made cartridge guns. The advantage he had was that his handmade rifles were more accurate than a cartridge rifle. The mechanism, the breech loading mechanisms, were never as tight and sound as the muzzle loading guns, and at that time target shooting was quite popular. His guns were mostly target rifles and small bore squirrel rifles.
Now, these guns that Charles Flowers made, they made them from scratch, right? I mean, they didn't send
that's
away
right.
to Kansas for parts or something like that, right?
Well, that's basically so. However, by that time, the lock mechanisms were pretty well available commercially.
Mm-hmm.
Hardware stores carried them, and mail order suppliers could take care of that. And he did not forge his own barrels. He would buy a barrel with a bore in it and cut his own rifling groups. We have one of his rifling machines at the museum. That was a time-consuming process where he cut the spiral grooves in the bore. It took about 8 hours for two men, one doing the actual rifling by pulling the cutting tool through the barrel, and another man lubricating constantly.
Hmm.
And great pains were taken in that process to make the guns as accurate as they were.
Let's, we should mention, we don't want anybody to be left behind here, and I'm certainly no gun expert, but talk about the difference between rifling, as in a rifle, and a shotgun. The interior of the barrel, or the bore, as you're talking about, is different, right?
That's correct. A bore in a smoothbore rifle, if you would fire a ball through it, it had to have some clearance around the ball
mm-hmm.
to get it down there. In those days, gunpowder left a residue inside the barrel. Black powder was not clean like the stuff we have today, and so it would, if you didn't leave some room, it would gum up. And with a rifle, you had to clean it every few shots, but the groove represented an area that could be filled with some of the residue. So it was developed in Germany, and Harmony was settled by German separatists back in 1803.
Ah.
So it was quite popular in Europe and picked up here You know, we call it the American long rifle. Sometimes it's called a Kentucky rifle. They weren't made in Kentucky. They were made mostly in Pennsylvania and Virginia. It was developed in eastern Pennsylvania in the middle of the 18th century and perfected by the time we got out here.
But they were the most accurate rifles of all, right?
Extremely. A rifle was extremely accurate compared to a smoothbore gun. And we have not only rifles on, we have the displays. We have 30 tables over there, and several of the tables will have guns as early as the Revolutionary War.
Oh, wow.
The exhibitors are mostly collectors. We have a few dealers, but mostly these are local people who have an interest here, and whenever guests come, it's only $5 admission. You're welcome, usually, to handle a gun. You go to a museum, you get to look through a piece of glass at something, and you can't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
But I particularly like it when the kids come, and I always see to it that they get something to hold.
Mm.
Maybe it's just a bayonet or something like that. But hands-on is we didn't learn enough history in school nowadays. We like to push a little history on the kids.
We're talking, listeners, with Rick Rosenberger about the Harmony Antique Gun Show, which is this weekend. It's one day only. It's just Saturday. Sponsored by Harmony Museum, and it's 9 a.m. to 2 o'clock in the afternoon this Saturday. It's actually in Stuart Hall, which is right next to Harmony Museum. You can't miss it when you're there.
And this year we have a special feature. We have a large display on the stage of one of the local collectors is exhibiting his family's collection of World War I memorabilia, including trench art and some weaponry, and uniforms and the like. This is the 100th anniversary of our entry into World War I.
That's right.
That's unusual for us because we don't usually have things that late.
1917, when the U.S. got involved in World War I, 100
That's
years
right.
ago.
That's right.
So these... they were mistakenly called Kentucky rifles, these Pennsylvania long rifles. They were much sought after during this time period. I would imagine that people from all over the fledgling United States would be interested in having a gun made by Charles Flowers in Harmony, PA.
Well, yes, that's true. But most of our market we have here are local collectors and local people interested in Butler County history. So we often have guns returning to us.
Mm.
People from Butler County keep their eye open for the local guns. And in fact, we have been gifted this year with a fine collection of Charles Flowers rifles, and I have several of them that we will be selling at the show.
Also, some of the items will be available for purchase, huh?
Oh, yes, quite a few guns. You can find just about anything you want there, and whether it's for sale or not is a matter of usually waiting for it to come on the market. But you will see everything you want. Civil War guns, Colt revolvers, there's something for everybody.
$5 admission, folks. Proceeds benefit Harmony Museum. And kids under 12 are admitted free. They must be accompanied by an adult. Will there be, in addition to the antique guns and the rifles and so on, will there be some accoutrements? I'm thinking about the stuff powder horns and stuff I used to see on the Daniel Boone TV show.
You'll see there will be several fine scrimshod powder horns from the Revolutionary War period there.
During the Revolutionary War, the War of Independence, this particular area of western Pennsylvania, there was still some doubt as to whether this was going to be Pennsylvania or Virginia, right? Had they settled
right.
that
when
yet?
When we went into the Revolutionary War, it was the fort was commanded by General Neville, a Virginian. By the time the war was over, it had been pretty well decided that this was Pennsylvania, and the last commander down there was Irvine. You know, the Irvine family from from the original bank in Evan City.
Yes. Thank goodness they got that straightened out. I mean, Virginia may be for lovers, but I'm kind of glad we're in Pennsylvania here right now. will there, in fact, be some, because we were talking about these long rifles, and that's what, if you see any movie or depiction of Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett, that's what they were carrying. And if you've never seen one of these, up close and personal, the real thing, they really are long, aren't they?
Yes, the average length of a barrel was 42 inches.
Mm-hmm. So that's close to 4 feet.
Yes, that was required to burn the powder. Powder burns and behind the ball as it's passing down. And to complete combustion of that early primitive powder, you needed a longer barrel.
Now, were these the design of these weapons? Did you have to put, use a powder horn to pour the powder in? And then were they flintlock?
Some of the early ones are flintlock. And the percussion ignition system came in about 1826 down in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
They were advertising the percussion, new percussion ignition. So you will find both flint locks and percussion locks on the guns at Harmony.
Now, today's rifles and guns, of course, are all percussion, whether it's a 22 on up to whatever. The mechanism for firing the powder is a firing pin hits the back of the cartridge, and that sets it off. But the early ones, the flintlock, was actually a piece of flint there, right? And you made a spark
with it, and that ignited the
powder.
The flint came from England and France.
Hmm. Those must have been pretty dangerous.
Yes, they were.
I mean, you hold that up to your, up to your face if you're sighting down the barrel of the rifle. You pull the trigger, and then, they get the flint and the spark, and the powder goes off, and all that's right in front of your face, for goodness sake.
That's right. You get used to it. If the lock is properly made, that will not come back into your eye. There's quite a history of the evolution of the flint lock mechanism, and it was a trade in itself in the 18th century.
Will there be any of that particular type of rifle on display on Saturday?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, lots of good stuff, folks, at Harmony Museum this Saturday. Again, it's 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. $5, for goodness sakes. A very nominal admission fee, and kids under the age of 12 get in free if they're accompanied by an adult. All proceeds benefit Harmony Museum. Has this been a pretty big draw? You said you've had it for about a dozen years now, Rick Rosenberger. Does it draw a pretty good crowd?
Well, yes, we have. We generally have about 100 to 120 people through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a mailing list with over 200 names on it. So it's proven to be quite successful and never a complaint to be heard.
Well, if you're interested in Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania history, this is a very important aspect of it. Rick, thanks. I know you got a busy schedule here. I appreciate you chatting with us for a few minutes about this. Thanks a lot.
You're most welcome.
Sure.
Thank you.
Rick Rosenberger from the Harmony Museum, annual antique gun show, antique weapons. Western Pennsylvania, I think that's great. Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett, all those guys, Pennsylvania long rifles. You can see them up close and personal Saturday at Harmony Museum. Okay, we need to take a break. We have much more to come on the It's Your Turn program. Don't forget tomorrow now. Tomorrow we have open talk time. We have tomorrow we're going to be chatting with Slippery Rock University grad student Alicia Feder-Kyle. She has been doing research for a while now on the 1900s typhoid fever epidemic in Butler. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. And she's been working with the Historical Society, and plus she's a graduate history student at The Rock. So Alicia will be with us tomorrow. Also tomorrow we'll be talking about the upcoming solar eclipse, the total solar eclipse later this month, August 21st, I think is the date. Dr. Steve Ruskin, professor from, he's out in Colorado now. He got his degrees from Notre Dame and Cambridge University, so this guy knows his stuff, and we were very fortunate to be able to get an interview with him tomorrow about the eclipse. Can you see it from Western? I don't know. We'll talk with Steve about that tomorrow. He'll be with us at 1:30 tomorrow. Okay, coming up, some career advice from Dr. Vera Teller. And coming up after that, Ralph Christie Jr. and a guest from Sing Hosanna Performing Arts Group. So still lots to come here on It's Your Turn. We shall be back coming up in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is Goin' Postal Butler. Goin' Postal Butler. They're just off Newcastle Road behind Kings and Villa Grande restaurant. What do they do? Well, among other things, they package your items for shipping. And this can be a real boon. Have you ever needed to send a package, or maybe a couple of them, and, you know, do you have the right paper, the appropriate shipping tape, the labels, yada, yada, yada? They'll do it for you. They package your items for shipping, and you can ship them any way you want through Going Postal Butler, FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service. They also offer copying, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, custom boxes, greeting cards. You can buy a lottery ticket there. They have an official notary as well. They're located within the Shockey Mini Storage, 140 Shockey Lane. It's right behind Kings and Villa Grande, right off Newcastle Road. Your friendly neighborhood shipping center. Goin' Postal Butler. Try them out. Goin' Postal Butler. More info on their services, call them at 724-841-0044.
Whether you're a competitive athlete or a weekend warrior, any injury that keeps you on the sidelines is not one worth having. The sports medicine specialist at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers will help you get back into action so you can keep up your lifestyle. Our experts understand that the same treatments for competitive athletes can be used for those who just want to be able to stay active. They accept major insurance plans, including both Highmark and UPMC. Learn more about how you can get back on the field by visiting TriRiversMSK.com.
Welcome, listeners. We're going to be giving some advice today. We're going to be getting some advice, actually, for college students and their parents about paving your way to a career. Our guest visits with us by telephone. She is career coach Vera Teller, and she's the author of a new book entitled Check It Off. First of all, Dr. Teller, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I'm intrigued by you're talking about college students have to prepare for a career each year, because, you know, most of us think, well, that's something that you do kind of toward the end of your college career, maybe even in your senior year. You say that's way too late.
You know, that's so true. So many books on the market are written for after college, or your senior year when you're ready to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of programs in the college, in the university, just don't really help the student prepare or get ready for that career. So my book says, you know what, why don't we put a little bit of responsibility on the student and have them kind of like look at their career as they're going along in college. So there's a list of tasks to do in your freshman year or your first year, all the way through to graduation.
Now, there are some folks, maybe even some college students, who may be listening to us and saying, well, you know, can I just have some fun while I'm in college too? Do I have to worry about the preparing for a career, getting a job the first semester of my freshman year? For goodness sakes, can't I have a little fun?
Actually, I write about that in the book as well, and I say that the activities that they normally do, why don't we just take a look at those and kind of like just turn them around just a little bit, and you'll be surprised at what you already do, how that can help you. And let me give you two examples.
Mm-hmm.
One is networking. Networking is really important in today's day and age. And so students go to concerts, they meet with friends, they don't realize that that is networking. And so it's kind of like, let's start taking the activities that we normally do and just start educating the student that, you know what, the people that I meet today can really help me once I graduate. Another example is jobs. Like, most students have either part-time jobs or full-time jobs. And the jobs usually don't correlate to a career that they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you're interested in becoming an accountant, why not get a part-time job in an accounting firm? Or if you're interested in becoming, you know, a lawyer, why not, you know, start looking at what, where can I get a part-time job that I can relate or meet some type of, you know, lawyers. And so it's kind of like turning around what we normally do, but start looking at it as far as how can I take advantage of the activities that I do in college that will prepare me or help me when I graduate. And then don't forget, too, college is kind of like a discovery. We might think we want to be an accountant, but when we start, you know, kind of like participating in those type of activities, we may say, you know what, this career is not really for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so why wait until you graduate and you're into becoming an accountant when you can kind of figure that out along the way?
That's very, very important advice. I know that certainly happened to me. I changed majors just over a year or so into my undergraduate years, and a lot of my friends did too. And it's especially important, I think, and I've been reading about, you know, we've seen the loss of jobs here in the United States in some particular sectors, and forecasters are now predicting, this is kind of scary, forecasters are predicting that one-third of today's jobs, one-third, will be taken over by robots in the next 10 to 20 years. So if you're a college student and thinking about a career, you got to be aware of this.
Yes, I address that as well. It's kind of like, it's what do you want to do? And also, what are the jobs out there in the future that you need to prepare for? And so that's another good example of something that you could do while you're in college. So, for example, if you have a paper that you have to write, why not take that as a topic? What are some of the jobs that will be available 5-10 years from now? So you're using your college courses to actually help you prepare. Instead of just writing a paper about anything, why not take that opportunity to do some research that will actually benefit you? So what I'm telling you, and like what I said before, is like it's not anything that we need to do differently. I mean, not anything that we have to add to our schedules. It's taking advantage of the things that we already have to do, but taking a look at it just a little bit differently.
We're talking for listeners who may have joined us a little bit late on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest visits with us by telephone. She is Dr. Vera Teller, career coach, and for the purposes of our discussion today, the author of a new book entitled Check It Off, Paving Your Way Through College to a Career. There are lots of career advice books out there. Dr. Teller, I'm not telling you anything. Yours is a little bit different because you actually give specific advice, do you not, about the processes that you should be taking each year of college, from freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year.
Right, and it's actually, these are the things that you need to look at your first year of college all the way through to your senior year or your fifth year. A lot of students take 5 years to complete college. And it's actually like a checklist. These are the things that you should be doing, and you kind of go through it and you check it off when you've completed it. So it gives you that sense that you have some goals for the freshman year. These are the goals or the tasks that I want to complete, and have I completed them? And I teach at the university, and many students do not visit, like, for example, the Career Center. And most colleges have a Career Center. And the Career Center has so many resources for the college student. And so why wait until the third year or the fourth year to visit your Career Center when you could be starting to make that relationship when you're a freshman? Career fairs is another example. There are so many career fairs that take place at a college campus, and most students wait until their senior year to attend. And it's like, why not start attending when you're a freshman to kind of like get the lay of the land and figure out what is this all about and how I can prepare now for when I really need to attend a career fair when I'm a senior. So there are a lot of things that students can do while they're going through college and not wait until after or once they graduate, because it's daunting out there when you're trying to look for a job and you feel like you're not prepared or you don't have prospects and you really don't know how to pursue the job search. It's kind of like, why not start slowly and then build momentum as you're going through college?
We have to take a short break, listeners. We have a few more minutes, fortunately, that we're able to talk with Dr. Vera Teller about Check It Off. And when we come back in just a minute or so here, there's some advice for parents in this book, too, that might be particularly important. We'll pick up our conversation with Vera Teller here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
Choices, decisions, quality health care. These are important issues that really hit home. It's a good thing that Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to help. Home health care can help you or your loved one recuperate from an illness, manage a chronic disease, or recover from an injury or operation right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
Welcome back. My name is Dave Malarkey on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. We're talking with expert career coach Vera Teller. Dr. Teller has authored a book entitled Check It Off, Paving Your Way Through College to Career. And as she mentioned in the first part of our conversation, actually checklists where you can check it off. I mentioned before the break, Dr. Teller, that you have advice for parents in your book as well. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, let me start saying that the reason why I was interested in writing this book is because of a personal experience with my daughter. My daughter basically went to one of the top national colleges, and at the end, when she graduated, basically fell into a deep depression because she had no plans or direction for the future. And it took me, my husband, and myself, a lot of time and resources and doctors to get her on her feet and get her moving towards a career. And so that's my advice for parents, is to start to recognize that we can help our child as they're going through their college careers by basically giving them advice and offering, you know, telling them, have you visited, you know, just asking questions. Have you visited the Career Center? Or, you know, what is your field of interest? And what have you done, basically, to pursue that? You know, just to figure out, is this something that you really want to do? As you mentioned, that you graduated in a field that basically you're not in. Many students do that. Many people do that. They'll graduate in one field and they'll basically pursue a career in another field. But that doesn't mean that you don't graduate. That means that you basically go through the process, and it's a learning process, right? It's kind of like I describe in my book, like a river flowing. We kind of try to find our path, our
mm-hmm,
way.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened with my daughter, too. You know, she started out in one area and then kind of like narrowed her interests until she found the career that she was interested in to pursue. And so we all do that. And I want to preface that we can help our child basically find their way and not to give up. The statistic for students not graduating college and not completing the 4 or 5 years is pretty high.
It is.
And so this is why I wrote the book, to try to help the students get through this.
Sometimes you just need a little bit of a kick in the pants, quite frankly, to get going. By the way, I want to be clear on one point. I may have not been clear about my experience. I did start out majoring in another field, but fortunately found out a year or so in that I was in the wrong place, and I did end up majoring in broadcast journalism. So I am in the field in which I majored, although I didn't start out there. By the way, even a quick kick in the pants sometimes can be a big thing. I know there was one point in my undergraduate career where, it all started with being a little over-exuberant in celebrating a big win by the football team. It was over UCLA, by the way. And my quality point average just nosedived that quarter. And I could have used a kick in the pants right there. Said, hey, get it together. Because it took me about a year and a half to get my cumulative average back up again after that silly experience.
Yeah, I hear you.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the new modern tools that were not available when many of us were in undergraduate school. There are modern tools. There are things like, we have LinkedIn today. That's relatively new for people looking for job information, right?
You know, that I'm glad that you brought that up, because we do teach LinkedIn now as far as a social networking tool to use in college. And, you know, we start them off in college using that tool, and many students don't know about that. We also talk about, the pictures and the things that you're doing, that a lot of young kids are doing on social media that they should not be doing, and they need to start realizing that and focusing on that, because that can follow you, as you know, posting, you know, pictures that you shouldn't be posting or saying things that you shouldn't be saying on Facebook, different types of social media. So I do talk about that a lot. Also, once you set up a LinkedIn account, which is basically the business social networking site, when you set up that LinkedIn account, is to start thinking about all of the people that you do meet at just different social events, and these could be your friends of friends, that you want to basically start connecting with using LinkedIn, and not waiting until you're a senior.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you feel like you are starting slowly to build your network, so that once you graduate, you can actually use your network to help you get a job. In fact, our first job is usually procured or secured by people that we know, that could be friends of our parents, friends of friends, or just in our first social network. So that's why it's very important to use LinkedIn. And there are also a lot of other software tools that are out there to help the student in planning. So, for example, using Excel as far as planning and your worksheet, and I talk about that in the book as well. It's kind of like you need to start writing things down and basically have some goals, because if you don't have goals, you're not going anywhere. You want to basically start thinking about, these are the things that I need to do, and then make time to actually complete them.
We're talking with Dr. Vera Teller, career coach. By the way, you mentioned being careful about what you post on social media. I have read that human resources people, the people who do the hiring at companies, they look at that almost every time now. They check a person's record, what they've posted on some of these social media sites, and if there's bad stuff on there or even marginal stuff, that's a big downgrade.
Yeah, many companies actually look at what's out there about you, and we talk about that as far as making sure that you clean up all of your social media before, you know, you start looking for a job. But at the same time, you want to be, you know, pretty conservative when you're going through college, what you post on, you know, Facebook and different things like that. So it's just being aware that companies do look at this, and that you need to be very careful as far as what you post. It's very competitive out there. So getting a job and, you know, your first job, and also getting future jobs, it's competitive. And so you want to make sure that you put yourself in the best possible position to get your first job and also to get future jobs.
Are there modern tools to help you update your resume? Because, again, that's in some cases the only thing that a human resources person will look at. And if you don't pass that test, you're not even going to get an interview.
That's true. You know what? I like to, and we teach writing, how to write a resume, and we just use normal Microsoft Word.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much still something that you have to take control over. You can, and I think that in the future we're going to be using more of LinkedIn as far as posting our resume there. We're beginning to see that now. So you'll be putting all of your information, like your resume information, on LinkedIn. And I think that most companies will basically just use LinkedIn. But right now we're in that phase where a resume is still needed. Most companies, you basically file the resume online or complete a resume online. But I always advise that when you're going for an interview that you bring a hard copy of your resume as well.
Good advice.
So that the person has it in front of them and you can refer to it. So, yes, there are tools, but old-fashioned also works.
Dr. Vera Teller has a diverse career, folks. Her experience includes business management, operations, consulting, and as she mentioned, she's currently a lecturer in the College of Business Administration and Public Policy at California State University in Dominguez Hills, California. She's the author of Check It Off, Paving Your Way Through College, Making the Most of Each Year of College, Essential to Starting a Strong Career. Dr. Teller, thanks for being with us today. By the way, is your book available at the normal places we buy books? It's already available, right?
It's already out there. It's Amazon.com, and also you can check my website, VeraTeller.com.
Thanks, Dr. Teller. Nice to talk with you today.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. So long now.
Bye.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. We welcome several guests from the Sing Hosanna Performing Arts Group here in Butler, including the founder of Sing Hosanna and the director of all of their shows down through the years. That's Ralph Christie, Jr. Ralph, good to see you. Nice to have you back with us.
Same here, Dave. Thanks.
And you have three cast members from your upcoming summer dinner theater comedy.
We do, which is upcoming here. It's actually this coming Saturday. The show is called How Santa Got His Christmas Tree. So we're doing a whole Christmas theme here in August since it's so hot out. That'll may cool everybody down. It's going to be held at St. Peter's the Fellowship Hall. And it's a complete full-course meal and also the comedy. And then we always have the raffling of some theme baskets. We are doing it in two sessions. One at 12 noon and one at 6 o'clock.
Oh, so there'll be two performances.
Performances, yes. Mm-hmm. And we have to have reservations because we have our chefs within Sing Hosanna, so they're actually making the food. And actually tomorrow is the deadline for that. So if anybody is interested, if they could, I'll get the telephone number and we'll make sure we get a hold of you if you're interested in coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they have to know how many beans to put in the pot.
Correct.
For the dinner.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a lot more than that. It looks like a delicious dinner coming up here. Let's meet some of the cast members who are with us here today. We'll just go around the table here, so hopefully I don't get mixed up. Tommy Lynn Killian is here. Hi, Tommy Lynn. How are you?
Good.
Nice to meet you. Also, Skylin Ellison. Skylin, same. Good to see you today.
Good to see you, too.
And Jordan Davis as well. Let's see, Jordan, you've been here before, have you not?
Yes, I have.
During a previous Sing Hosanna show, and Tommy Lynn too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what about you, Skylin? Have you done previous Sing Hosanna shows?
Yeah, I've done a lot. My first one was like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done basically all of the shows since then, so that's a lot.
So all of you getting involved in live theater work rather early in life, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the part that you're playing, Tommy Lynn Killian. What part do you have in this show?
I am Friendly the Elf, and I am friendly.
Well, I would hope so with that name. Otherwise, we'd have to change your name. The title of the show again is
How Santa Got His Christmas Tree.
Okay.
Christmas trees can't grow at the North Pole, so it's just way too cold. So Mrs. Claus is trying to figure out how to give Santa a present in the form of a Christmas tree.
You know, I never thought about that because, you know, as you go north up through Canada, you have the tundra. Right. You know, there's no more trees, that's and right, then there's no more bushes, and then there's no more grass, and nothing but ice.
Yes, yeah.
You get up to the North Pole. I never thought about that. Also, Skyla Nelson, what part do you play, Skyla?
I am Bossy the Elf, so I'm kind of bossy to the other elves, and I'm not very nice to some of them.
How many elves are there in this show? You got elves all over the place?
There are five elves.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Jordan Davis? What part do you play?
I'm Diddle, the mechanical toy.
Diddle?
Yes.
Well, that's a heck of a name for a person, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huh? You're a real diddler. A mechanical doll?
Yes.
So have you had to practice, like, mechanical moves and so on?
Yeah.
Yeah? And are you getting pretty good at that?
I think I'm getting pretty good at
that. Yeah, does somebody have to touch you or something to get you going?
Yeah, I have a button that makes me move and talk.
So otherwise you just have to stand there and not do anything until someone presses your button, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. How many other people in the show? There must be a Mrs. Claus, right?
There's nine total. Uh-huh. So Mr. and Mrs. Claus are in the show, and then the five elves, and then we have a mailman in the show also.
Oh, speedy delivery.
He's not so speedy, but yes.
You guys know Mr. McFeely, don't you? Huh? Or Mr. Rogers? Yeah, yeah. So tell me a little bit about, is this a musical or a straight play? Or?
It's actually a play. It's about 35 minutes in length. Full costumes, a full set, props and so forth. And like I said, Santa doesn't know he's getting this Christmas tree. And two of the five elves are mischievous elves. So they plan on doing something with the tree before we hit the ending of the show. But I really don't want to give that away.
Well, it can't be the two elves that are here because we are friendly and bossy.
That's
true. They're not mischievous.
Well, they were so mischievous we didn't allow them to come today.
So costumes, typical elf suit. Is that what you're dressed in?
Pretty much.
Tommy Lynn?
Huh? Yeah, pretty much.
What color?
Greens, purples, reds.
Yeah, that's typical elf stuff. Same for you, I assume, Skyla,
yeah,
right?
And we have these shoes that, like, curl up at the toe.
Oh, yes, the curly pointed shoes,
the elf shoes
with a bell on the end or something like that. Huh?
And then they have hats, too.
Yeah.
Elf hats. Now, when you're playing a doll, Jordan, there's a whole realm of possibilities for your costumes. Yeah. How are you going to be decked out? I need you to get a little closer to that mic for me.
It's more of a Shirley Temple look.
Oh, okay.
So like a big poofy dress.
Mm-hmm.
Patent leather shoes, the little white socks, big red bow in our hair.
Patent leather Mary Janes, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, big bow in your hair.
Yeah.
And, of course, the button on your back, naturally.
It's hidden somewhere.
It's a hidden button.
It's a hidden button.
Oh, well, that brings up all sorts of possibilities.
That's all part of the plot.
Especially when you have some mischievous elves around.
Yes, yeah.
That's for sure. I think I may have hit on something.
Yeah,
there,
I think so.
These young ladies, I'm assuming, are all still in school, right? Let's talk a little bit about that. Tommy Lynn, where do you go to school?
Butler Middle School.
I hate to bring this up because, you know, it's the last couple of weeks of summer vacation. So. But I have to because people would want to know, what grade will you be in when school starts this fall?
Sixth grade.
Sixth grade at Butler Middle?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that is... Where is that nowadays? Are you up on the hill?
It's the junior high school.
Yeah.
The old junior high.
The old junior high. So you'll be there for one more year, and then
this is my last year at the Butler Middle School.
Oh,
they'll be moving to the intermediate.
Oh, have you been up there yet?
Nope.
Are you going to have like an orientation day or something like that, or you won't know what door to go in?
I have no idea for having an orientation
and
day.
And you're not worried about it at all at this point, huh?
I think she has one more year at the junior high school, the middle school. Is that what you said, Tommy Lynn?
This is my last year.
Yeah, she has one more year.
I got you. I was a little confused there. Skyland, what about you? Where do you go to school?
I go to the Freeport Area Middle School.
Mm-hmm. Now, Freeport Middle School is different from, it's different grades than Butler Middle School, right?
Yeah, we have kindergarten through fifth grade in our elementary, then sixth through eighth in our middle, and then 9th through 12th is in our high school.
So what grade will you be in a couple of weeks when you start the new school year?
Going into seventh.
Seventh grade. Okay. And what about you, Jordan? You're the last one. Jordan Davis, where do you go to school?
I go to the Butler Intermediate.
Okay. And what grade will you be in this fall?
I'll be in 9th grade.
It's actually still late summer when you start school these days. It used to be you didn't start till after Labor Day, but nowadays, 9th grade, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been an upperclassman for a while.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said you've been in previous Sing Hosanna shows?
Yes, I have.
Have you done other theater shows around? Church group, school, anything like that?
I did one play in my old elementary school,
mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much it.
So why do you do this? Is it great fun to be on stage? Do you love it?
Yes, I do.
Yeah? And how did you get started? Did your parents send you as a punishment, or did you want did you want to do this, or what? I did my first show because of a friend.
Yeah,
my friend said, I'm gonna be in this show. Why don't you come and try out? And I went, and that was how I got started. You know,
my one friend showed me the audition paper, and I thought it was really fun.
So you gave it a shot, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Skylin?
I had been doing stuff with the CLO, and they didn't have, and it didn't fit in my schedule to do it in the fall, so my grandma showed me the audition thing for this, and it was the first year I was old enough to audition, so mm-hmm. I decided to audition, and I found it amazing and really, really fun to be in a show, and it was really fun, so I decided to keep doing it.
So you taken classes, like with the CLO in the summer or so on?
Yeah, I did, not in a while, but I have done classes there, and I've done a summer camp there.
I don't think I ever talked with anyone who did that before. That's pretty... That's pretty exclusive territory. Do they teach you to sing and dance? Is that what you do?
I did dance there. It was a while ago, but I did dance there, like three types of dance in an acting class for a year.
So you're a pretty good dancer at this stage of your life?
Kinda. I'm taking dance this year. I took a pretty long break from dance because of just being really busy with shows and a whole bunch of other stuff I do. But I'm starting dance again this year. And I did dance a long time ago, so kinda, yeah.
What about you, Tommy Lynn? Have you done a lot of shows?
I started out at my church because whenever I was five, they start because we had enough kids.
Mm-hmm. That's where a lot of kids start. A church play or something like that, yeah.
My church, we did nativity plays during Christmas time. Then I leveled up to the Butler Little Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Then
like the children's workshop or something there. Yeah. You're involved. Uh-huh.
Then I ended up going to my friend's church plays, mm-hmm. and so that's another way. And then I found Sing Hosanna because of a lady at my church.
So it sounds like you're enjoying this.
Yes.
A great deal, huh? You plan to keep doing this throughout at least through your school years, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's great to see young people like this involved in live theater at such an early age.
Wow. That's my joy. The younger people, I really enjoy working with them. We've always had a great children's program through our history.
Mm-hmm. And this is how you learn.
Yes.
You do shows when you're young, and then when you're a little bit older, who knows?
Oh, they just, every time they do a show, they get more and more experience, and they get more confident, and it's just a great thing to see.
We need to take a break to check lottery numbers, do we not? Yeah? And I also need to talk a little bit about Butler Motor Tours, so let's do that right now. Come back and talk a little bit more about what's planned for the rest of the year by the Sing Hosanna Performing Arts Group, one of the busier cultural groups here in the area. Speaking of busy, they're still very, very busy at Butler Motor Tours. If you think just because, you know, you can see the end of the summer up ahead there, they have lots of trips. If you've got vacation time left, or maybe you're planning to go in the late summer or early fall, let me give you a couple of ideas. First of all, they have lots of trips to see fall foliage, either in New England or in West Virginia. You can go on a cruise to see foliage. You can go on a train trip. They have a trip called Trains Across the Mountains. And you'll visit New Hampshire and Vermont and Massachusetts and Connecticut. Beautiful up there this time of year. Also, they have trips coming up to see the biblical epic that's underway this year at the Millennium Theater. The show this year is Jonah, and they have two more trips down there. It's in Lancaster, PA, out in eastern Pennsylvania. It's 2-day trips down and back. Very, very popular. They still have one more trip to the Ark Encounter. That's the full-size replica of Noah's Ark, according to the dimensions given in the Bible. This just opened last year. It's in Williamstown, Kentucky, just below Cincinnati. They have a trip there in early September through Butler Motor Tours. One thing about Butler Motor Tours, it's a comfortable way to travel because you're on one of their big luxury coaches, and it's also very affordable, and it's fun. Check out their website. It's butlerbus.com, butlerbus.com. All of their trips are there. I just gave you a couple of highlights. The trips are there, the dates, the itinerary, the cost, and everything. In fact, you can even book online if you so desire. This is a local company. They're on South Monroe Street in Butler. They've been taking folks from our area to places near and far for 77 years now. Butler Motor Tours online at butlerbus.com, butlerbus.com. We'll be right back.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 3535. The pick 3 is 751, 751. The pick 4 is 5492. The pick 5 is 44417. The wild ball for each of those is 5. The treasure hunt is 2, 11, 19, 22, and 25. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
Moving from my home of 50 years was a little scary, but I wasn't safe at home anymore, and my daughter with her busy life, children and grandchildren, it wasn't fair for me to expect so much from her.
We looked together to find a new home and discovered New Haven Court at Clearview.
What made the difference were the employees and the residents we met. The residents said it was a great place to live.
New Haven Court at Clearview, a great place to live because it's a great place to work. 888-261-5753 or visit IntegraCare.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking about theater and movies when we have guests like this from Sing Hosanna Performing Arts Group here in Butler. This is a group that goes back 30 years, Ralph
38
Christie?
38 years, mm-hmm. 37, 38.
Mm-hmm. And Ralph Christie Jr. is the founder and the executive director. You have, I'm sure you have outlined the rest of the year for your group.
We do. We always do a Broadway show in November, November 10th, 11th, and 12th. We are going to introduce a new show to the area. It has not been done that often. It's called Whistle Down the Wind, and it's featuring the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh, well, you don't have to go any further than that.
That's what I say.
Musical
too, yeah,
theater
yeah.
fans. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the giants. Yeah.
It's an amazing show.
Mm-hmm. Will you be holding open auditions for that
we
this
are,
fall?
We are, actually, I think in a couple of weeks here. August the 20th and the 21st, Sunday and a Monday.
Large cast or small intimate
large
group?
Cast.
Large cast.
You know, we like our large casts.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of kids and lots of teenagers in it.
Whistle Down the Wind. Sounds like fun. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what it sounds like. It sounds like a cross between Brigadoon and I don't know, something else. That's not Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah, you'll be surprised.
Yeah. So will you have... music from a number of Webber shows? Is it kind of
review? He bought these rights. It was actually a movie in England.
Uh-huh.
Can't remember who the director was. And he actually bought the rights and redid the whole story and put it 1959 at Christmas Eve in Louisiana. And it's a very interesting storyline.
Sounds like it. I'm not familiar with the show at all. Yeah. Well, you said it's not done very well.
It never appeared on Broadway.
Whistle Down the Wind. Stay tuned for audition notice for that for Sing Hosanna. You always welcome newcomers for your auditions,
right?
Oh,
of course. Yes, yeah? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, you have a lot of people who have been with you for years and years and years.
Yes. And the telephone number that I will give, which is 724-285-3653. We can give you information about the Dinner Theater plus the Whistle Down the Wind show also.
And that's also the number if you want to make reservations for the Dinner Theater this Saturday, because you need to know that.
Yeah, the reservations for the Dinner Theater are actually by tomorrow. So if anybody's interested, they would need to call that number tonight. And then we'll make sure that we get you into the Dinner Theater.
What's on the menu?
The menu includes an appetizer of spinach dip served with some bread, ham loaf, a baked potato with sour cream and butter, green beans, lots of holiday cookies, and to drink iced tea, lemonade, or coffee.
A Christmas dinner in August.
In August.
Well, you know, Home Shopping Network and QVC, they do that.
They do. They're selling Christmas decorations now. Christmas in July.
Turn it on, they got Christmas sets up there and everything else. But will you have a set for this show, or do you do some minimal set work at St. Peter's Hall there?
We actually do build a set.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, we do. And how we do this at St. Peter's, we have a separate section for our patrons to eat at, which are tables all mixed, mm-hmm. and then you go to theater sitting to watch the production then.
Oh, okay. Yeah, excellent. Good idea. You've done some of these shows there before,
This is
you?
Probably our 15th year for doing dinner theater.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've got the big kitchen right there. So
they do. It's a beautiful facility.
Fabulous, yeah. Christmas in August, a dinner theater by the Sing Hosanna Performing Arts Group. Started 38 years ago, did you
About
say?
About
38. Yeah. How did you start this group, Ralph?
Actually, I was a organist and a choir director at a country church. We had a sister church, so I approached both churches about doing a cantata. So everybody said to me, what is a cantata? mm-hmm. So we actually started singing Easter cantatas, which then led to Christmas cantatas, which then led to stage Christmas productions, which then led to a children's Christmas show, which then led to the Broadway shows. Hmm. So we try to do a little bit of everything.
The history of our cultural groups here in Butler is interesting. The Musical Theater Guild actually grew out of a couple of things. There was a group called the Catholic Theater Guild, also church-related, way back when. And the Butler Little Theater, you did some work there, didn't you, Tommy Lynn? Butler
yes.
Little Theater. They originally would do musicals as part of their season playbill. One or sometimes even two, yeah. And they stopped doing that, and the folks who had been in the Catholic Theater Guild said, well, and they ended up with that's how the Musical Theater Guild of Butler was formed in the early 1960s. So it's interesting to look at the history of our groups sometimes.
Butler has been very blessed with as many musical groups as there are.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. So this is just a straight play, though. You don't get to sing and dance or anything, huh?
We sing Christmas carols.
Oh, do you? Okay. Kick up your ears. You got one good dancer here.
Yeah, I gave him some choreography to do.
She could break out into a little... Let's go over the details again, because if you're interested in going, maybe you've heard about it before and you forgot to put in your reservation. You need to do that today or tomorrow for the show, because it's this Saturday, right, Ralph?
It is this coming Saturday. Mm-hmm. So the reservations are due tomorrow. So again, the phone number is 724-285-3653. It's in two performances, and you have to choose which one you want to come to. It's all reserved seating. 12 noon is the first session. 6 o'clock is the second session. So we start with a full-course meal, and then we do our raffling of our theme baskets. They're valued about $50, and we have quite a few of those. It's a Chinese raffle. And then we do the show, and the show is called How Santa Got His Christmas Tree. Tickets are $22 for 11 years and older, $7 for 10 years and younger.
And you get to eat a meal at both performances, right?
Yes, the
so
same
it could
meal.
Be like an early midday dinner
a lunch
or
and a, dinner, yeah.
a late supper. Yeah. This Saturday, another in a long line of performances by one of Butler's fine cultural groups, the Sing Hosanna Performing Arts Group. Thanks, gang, for being here today. Nice to talk to you. Jordan Davis, Skylin Ellison, Tommy Lynn Killian, and Ralph, good to see you.
Oh, thank you, as always.
To see you all. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it'll be open talk to begin with on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. Also tomorrow, were you aware that there was a horrendous typhoid fever epidemic in Butler back in the early 1900s? I'd heard about it. I don't know anything about it. We'll learn a lot tomorrow because we'll be talking with Alicia Federkyle. She is a Slippery Rock University student, a senior history major, and she's been researching now for, I think, the better part of a year, this typhoid fever epidemic. I just heard about her work, her research, and I'm anxious to meet her and talk to her. She'll be with us tomorrow on the 1 o'clock segment. a little bit of Butler history. Also on tomorrow's program, we're scheduled to talk with a well-known astronomy scientist and commentator, Dr. Steve Ruskin. He's out in Colorado. He's a graduate of Notre Dame and Cambridge University in England. The topic will be the upcoming solar eclipse, total solar eclipse, which is a pretty rare thing, I guess, especially one that goes all the way across the country. It's coming up in a little less than 2 weeks. Is there a safe way to look at it? Well, you can't look at it with your naked eye. You go blind, I know that. So we'll talk about what it is, what happens, how to safely look at it, and so on with Dr. Ruskin on tomorrow's program. He'll be